Welcome to Bay State Golf. I'm Sean Mealy. I'm trying to play every golf course in the state of Massachusetts. That's public, private, 9 holes, and 18 holes. Today's episode, I'm going to recap my month of September. I played 9 different golf courses. 6 of them were new checkoff on my quest. One was a side quest, one was a revisit, and one was in California. So a pretty interesting month of golf for me, both in California and on the East Coast here in Massachusetts. Before we get to those golf courses, just a quick plug. Please subscribe to the channel. Please like this video. That always helps other people find what I am working on and what I am doing. Try to make stuff every week, posting different golf course reviews, grouping golf courses together, giving people lists of places to play, places to check out. And as the season winds down, kind of recapping the entire year, diving into some winter golf and all that kind of good stuff too. You can also find me on other parts of the internet. On Instagram, I run baystate_golf. All my reviews, photos, bunch of stuff over there you can check out. And you can also subscribe to my newsletter, baystategolf.beehive.com. Free Friday newsletter if you'd like to support the work I'm doing. I also cover amateur events, professional events, go on site every now and then, take photos, take videos, and share results. My Friday newsletter has all of that and more. And if you want to subscribe and be a paid subscriber, you get access to early reviews, extra videos, and just everything that I write on the website. With all that being said, let's get to my September recap. So this month's recap is going to be a tad different than my usual monthly recaps. If you've watched those in the past, you know that I pick out 2 good things from each golf course and 1 thing that I would change, whether it's a thing you can't change at all or maybe a hole I didn't like, just something, just a little critique about the golf course. Because this week's or this month's recap focuses a lot on the Cape Cod golf trip I took, I actually played most of my golf in a 4-day span on a trip to Cape Cod. I'm going to go through these a little differently. The first 2, Poppy Hills and Whitensville, I'm going to give you my 2 and 1, but then the Cape Cod trip, so I'm not kind of stepping on some videos I'm working on as far as that trip, because I'm going to make some videos just about my Cape Cod golf trip in the middle of the month, 4 days playing a bunch of golf. I'm going to go through those a little quicker just so I don't step on my own toes and create some stuff that kind of is redundant. So we're going to start at Poppy Hills, which is in California in Pebble Beach on 17 Mile Drive. I was in this part of the world because I won tickets to attend the Walker Cup. Me and my wife went out for a long weekend. Got to go to Cypress Point to watch the Walker Cup on Saturday. Watched the best amateurs in the world compete on one of the best golf courses. It was a spectacular opportunity. Couldn't pass it up. So we booked tickets and we went out there. And while I was out there, I brought my clubs. A friend of mine, Connor, who I'd never met in person, we worked together for a little bit. And always threatened to try to play golf if one of us was on the other's coast. He lives in Sacramento. He drove down and met me at Poppy Hills. Poppy Hills is a very interesting place. It's the headquarters of the Northern California Golf Association. It is a championship golf course. It is their championship host for a lot of events that they have over the course of the year. So it's a little different than some other states that might rotate around. They still rotate championships around in that part of the state as well, but this is kind of one of their locks for spots over the course of every year, an anchor site, if you will, a heavy, heavy anchor. They have a very cool model at Poppy Hills, because if I showed up without Connor, I would have paid $350 to play here. Unaccompanied guests, if you're just from out of town and you don't know anyone, that's what you're paying. I paid $175. It's a 50% deduction in price if you're just with someone who's a Northern California Golf Association member. And then it gets even cheaper for those members. I think Connor paid $80 to play. An exceptional golf course on Pebble Beach inside of 17 Mile Drive. Just a really good spot. So first good thing is, just as far as I think that model is super interesting. I've been trying to think about like what places around Massachusetts could get away with doing something like that. Maybe not charging $350. I don't know if there's a golf course in the state on the mainland, you know, where you have to get on a ferry and Farm Neck and those kinds of places that cost about that much money. But I was thinking, just trying to figure out, like, what's a course that could do that? Or is there a course, could George Wright get away with charging $130 to unaccompanied guests from out of state? And, you know, something like that. But that membership model was interesting to me. And I was fortunate that Connor joined me. If he didn't join me, I probably wouldn't have played there. I probably would have found a cheaper golf course outside of Pebble Beach. But it was a good spot. He had a practice round. He was playing a practice round. He was playing in an event later on in the month, and I wanted to see the golf course. He's played there a bunch. The downside is, if you are just an outside guest, you are paying a lot of money to play the golf course. That was really the only nitpick I could find. It's an expensive round of golf. Even at 175, it was the one round I was going to play out there. It felt like I was gonna bite the bullet and pay a little bit more for a really good golf course. And the thing that stood out to me about the golf course was it was in outstanding condition. The green complexes were super cool, and there was just short grass everywhere. So you could putt, you could chip, you could use your hybrid, but there was not a lot of rough surrounding the greens, and I really love that. And then the par threes were outstanding. There was five of them. They were all really good, all different enough, hitting different shots, different lengths, different clubs. So I really like that. Just aesthetically, a really pleasing looking golf course. Really interesting playing on different kinds of grass. Club just went through it very differently. Kind of an interesting experience. Usually I'm playing up here on bent grass, maybe some fescue, but whatever. I didn't even ask what grass was out there, but the greens have a grain where you can hit putts that look like they're going to go right to left, but if the grain is growing the opposite direction of the break, the grain sometimes can win that battle, and you can hit putts that look like they're going to fall right in the center of the cup, and then suddenly they're kind of scooting off to the edge just because of the way the grain grows. So Poppy Hills was awesome. Really enjoyed it. Really fun to meet in person with a fellow golfer who was someone I worked with. And just another kind of example of why golf is great. Meet someone in person for the first time. The next round was Whitensville, a place I had played before. Unbelievable golf course. One of my favorites. It's private. It's in excellent shape. It's a Donald Ross. The greens there are always the first thing that anyone will talk to you about when you say you've either played there or you're going to play there. They are really, really good. The golf course, just as like standing on the first tee and looking out, it doesn't feel like a nine-hole golf course. And as that sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, like, what does that even mean? But it's big, it's expansive. You can see across a lot of it. But you also feel like as you're looking out, there could be more. And there's not. There's nine holes. There's seven on one side of the road. You cross the road to play three and four. But love Whitensville's greens. I do think, if I'm going to pick a nit here, it's one of the best nine-hole golf courses in the entire world, on lists all the time of the best golf courses in the world that are nine holes. The false fronts are pretty wild. And as far as the greens, they are great. But if they're playing like a little too fast, it can be a little bit too much. And that's the one nitpick, is if the greens were actually a little slower, they might be more fun to putt and chip on, because you could put some pins in some places that right now there it's like unpinnable. The pin we saw on the sixth hole was wild. It was almost, I don't even know if it was two paces off the front edge of the green. And just had a really hard time. Actually, oddly enough, Dan, who I was playing with, I did a podcast with him before. He runs Pin High Golf, and he had me out, and Jared from Cape Cod Golf Guys. The three of us went and played. They're both members. And they both hit their balls above six and then were scared enough of the putt that they both left it short, which is kind of great. I thought the greens the day we played them were like a good speed, but I know they can get pretty fast. You can get in some spots where you can get in a lot of trouble. But that's the one thing. And then finally, just on Whitensville, love the energy there. I love like the golf club energy versus the country club energy. And the difference being, I don't know, everyone who's there is there to play golf. And that kind of just has a different feel than the golf courses at our country clubs, where you might have a bunch of people heading to the pool or to tennis and doing some different things. And like, that energy is great too, but there's just something I've kind of grown to like about everyone who's there is there to play golf. As someone who just wants to maybe go and just play golf, kind of a nice feel there at Whitensville, just small clubhouse, little bar, little restaurant, some outdoor seating, just super simple place, which is maybe the other thing that just, maybe it's not necessarily the golf club piece, but when you're just a golf club, that simplicity is there because they can just focus on one thing. I'd say a tennis club might feel the same way when you show up and it's just people are there to play tennis, or a pool club, when you know that everyone's kind of there to do the same thing and can create a little bit of a different energy. And I like it. So those are the two golf courses outside of my Cape trip that I played. I'm going to go through every course I played on my Cape Cod adventure. This was a 4-day trip. I played Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I stayed in Yarmouth at the Uncommoner, which was a really good like central location for the places I was getting to and also getting from. Stayed there each of the nights I was there. Cool new spot, like right in Yarmouth, Hyannis area. So it's accessible to all of these golf courses that I got to. And I thought it was great and close to some good restaurants and stuff. Like I said, I will be doing a big 2-part first 2 days, second 2 days video about my entire trip, going into detail about everything I did. I've got a bunch of footage, so you can kind of look for that in the next maybe month. It's taken me some time. But I went to Cape Cod. I played Tuesday very early. I got on a 7 a.m. ferry, headed over to Farm Neck, and I played, or headed over to Martha's Vineyard to play Farm Neck with Mark Mungem, who just finished the 2-year-long restoration. They did the front nine last year, the back nine this past winter, reopened, so now the whole golf course is ready to rock, and it was really good. Just a really strong golf course. Like, take out the water views, the inland holes are pretty good. It's not just about the holes on the water. I wish the 9th and the 18th were better. That would be kind of the one thing. So I'm going to just quickly, one good thing, one thing that maybe I didn't love, and then I'm going to get out of there. So Farm Neck, Martha's Vineyard, those are the kind of two things. Really just strong golf. 9 and 18 aren't great. Awesome views. And other than 9 and 18, the other inland holes I found to be very good too. So not just about the water out there. Got on a ferry, headed back to the mainland, and I just snuck in 18 holes at Paul Harney. It was a side quest. This is a par 60. They've got 4 par 4s. The rest are par 3s. A lot of like mid irons, a lot of plateau to plateau. There's this big kind of just swale that runs through a lot of the golf course. So you're hitting from a tee box, and the land goes down, and then you're back up on another on the green, and then you maybe turn around. A lot of things kind of blend together. I played the back nine in maybe 40 minutes, finished in the dark, was basically by the end just hitting the tee shot, scooping the ball after that, getting it on the green, not necessarily putting everything out, just trying to get through the hole 18 and to see it. It was a side quest, did not count in the quest. Holes blend together a little bit, but cool place for a beginner. No water, there's some bunkers out there. You're gonna learn to hit some funky shots off some funny lies if you miss greens. Paul Harney was good, and it was in good shape. Greens were lush and true, not super fast, but just a kind of a cool place I could imagine someone learning how to play golf. Then I went, another banger here, I went to Eastward Ho on Wednesday morning. A friend of my dad's is a member. He reached out in May and just kind of offered, hey, I'm a member at Eastward Ho if you're ever in the area and you want to play. I very rarely take people up on those offers, but with this gentleman, I knew I was going to be out there. I figured I would at least try, and it worked out. We could play on Wednesday. They just did a huge renovation, reopened in June. I've played Eastward Ho before, maybe 10 years ago. The land is wild. The views are stunning. You can see the water from most of the golf course, like in one way or the other, if you know where to look. The inland holes, just like Farm Neck, are really, really good. They play like into, there's this huge kind of bowls in the fairway, and you can get rejected from them and end up in some funny spots. You can kind of collect down into them, which are typically the safer places to be. It's a really tough golf course, and that's, for me, like the thing. I don't necessarily know if it's a course I would want to play every day. I've kind of boiled this down to, I think it's a course I'd want to play like 3 times in a week, and then maybe just be like, it's okay in my rearview mirror at this point for the season. Because it is hard. The wind blows. The golf course is probably different every day, which is always fun just because of the conditions. But picking out lines and figuring out what you want to hit off some different tee boxes, like by the third time around, if you get to see it in quick succession, you could kind of figure it out. Greens are extremely fast, very tough. They've got expanded, so the false fronts have been kind of pulled in. There's a lot of more areas where the ball can just roll off and tumble into bunkers or into short grass and stuff. So it's a hard, hard golf course, and that would be the kind of the thing that makes it kind of a place I don't necessarily know if I could play every day. It's not one of those places. It's a demanding walk, but just stunning, awesome championship golf. And if you ever get a chance to play it, absolutely go play it. Then Thursday morning, I was hoping to play Wednesday evening, but it rained. We finished at Eastward Ho and it just started raining, like dumping rain. I was going to go try to play Chatham Seaside Links, get another 9-holer checked off. I could not do that. Thursday morning, I went and played Highland Links, 7 a.m. tee time. I was up early, it's about a 55-minute drive from the Uncommoner out to Truro. Played 9 holes there. Met up with Hannah, who wasn't really a follower, but her brother-in-law and her dad were. And I had posted like, hey, I'm playing Highland Links at 7 on Thursday morning if anyone wants to join. And she lives out in that area and reached out, and we played together in the morning. And then I went to Chequesset after that. So Highland Links, I played there twice on this Thursday. I went back for 4 o'clock with some other folks who found me on YouTube. So Highland Links, incredible. Another place, like I played some places in this trip that had just awesome views. So this is redundant, but incredible views, unique golf. You're playing as linksy as you're going to get probably in this area of the world. Huge rolling land. You know, it's not dunes. You're not playing in this like seascape. But like the name Links lives up to at least the what you would expect, especially in the United States. And the last kind of little cool part about Highland Links is if you've played there, I had people telling me about secret tee boxes on the third hole. You get back onto the sixth tee box, and you look out behind there and you've got this lovely view of the water when it's not foggy. Played on a very foggy, kind of rainy, misty morning, and it's the same in the afternoon when I played. And then like 8 and 9 are kind of a downer. You know, I think that's sometimes how these types of golf courses work. They bring you out to the water, get you some views, and then you got to get back in towards the clubhouse. Number 9 is just a short little par 3. 8's a bunkerless, or maybe one bunker par 4 that just plays kind of pretty narrow. So I played there at 7. Then I also went back at 4 and played with Clay, who is a follower as well, found me on YouTube, which is wild. And we played another 9 holes there, and that was a lot of fun too. Played with his dad and his brother-in-law. Had a blast. So love those two places. Really cool to meet up with folks who are following the quest and kind of just wanted to join me for a round. Between those two rounds, I went to Chequesset. Chequesset is in Wellfleet, and it is a place that has the first 5 holes, barring maybe the first hole, which is just like a 6-iron wedge, just to get the round started. But 2, 3, 4, 5 are really good. I played the 5th hole from the 14th hole. It's a 9-hole golf course. So they got different tees. The 14th hole is an awesome par 3. The 5th hole tee box didn't really look like that much that interesting. And I knew I wasn't going to play it twice. So went down and played 14. So that little stretch of golf is really good. And then the problem with the place is 6, 7, 8, and even 9 are almost underwater for most of the spring, and it creates a ton of water damage. I just kind of started talking to the head pro there, and he was telling me that the goal is to close the golf course for 2 years, and potentially that's happening in January, to raise up 6, 7, and 8 so it doesn't flood anymore. They're doing a ton of work just in that area, the marshland and the water and the kind of ecosystem is, I wouldn't say it's struggling, but there's some dominoes that need to fall, and one of them is that Chiquessa needs to raise up their golf course. And then along with that, they're going to move some greens around and just add and take advantage of the opportunity to make it a little bit more of an interesting golf course. It's in a really interesting, it's just in a cool little spot. And if you had Highland Links and Chiquessa out there that are a nice 18 holes, I really enjoyed playing 9-9 and then returning back to Highland Links. You could play 27 in a day. You could just play 18. But Chiquessa was, I think it's got some potential. I'm interested to see what happens in the coming years if they do manage to do the work. They've got tennis. They've got boats. They're right on there. They have the beach right across the street. They do weddings. It's a place that could be a pretty vibrant area. A lot of people, as I was talking to the head pro, just people going and playing golf. So it's got some followers. There's plenty of people who want to play golf out in that neck of the woods, and Chiquessa could be a really cool option if they do manage to just overhaul. It's a Stiles Van Cleek design. So there's some cool stuff out there. Some really like interesting bunkering, and I think stuff that just become tired, but it's become tired in this way that's kind of rustic and charming looking. Dennis Pines on Friday morning was my last 18-hole round before heading home. Your typical Cape Cod golf experience, really. They have two golf courses there, the Pines and the Highlands. I couldn't make a tee time on both in a day through their system, so I didn't. And I made a Pines tee time. The Highlands tee times were like booked solid anyways. It's a tough golf course though. It's like it's tree lined. It's pretty long. I played the one up tees. I do love how you play it. It's tree lined, but it's that kind of tree lined golf where if you are a little bit off, you're going to find your golf ball. It's tidy under the trees. I hit a couple tee shots that in some courses, they're gone. I'm never finding it. It's leaves, or it's just kind of patchy, or it's overgrown. And this was not the case at Dennis Pines. It was like tidy. You could find it. You could play it out, and you could get moving, which I really liked. Holes 10, 11, 12 are bananas. 10 and 11 kind of wind around a pond, and then 12 is almost like a boomerang par 5. For me, those are probably like that was the 40-45 minutes where it's like, oh, this is especially after, I like the front. The back is hard, and the back is made hard because 10, 11, 12 are kind of quirky, funky holes that playing them for the first time, I was glad I had people with me who had played there before, but Dennis Pines, good, tough tree line, like classic Cape Cod golf. And then I drove down to Bayberry Links kind of on a whim. It was maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock, 1:30 when I finished at Dennis Pines, and I thought, I'm going to go before I head home and battle Friday traffic. I'm going to see if Bayberry Links, I can play 9. I had played the other 18 holes there, so wanted to kind of just close the loop on Bayberry, and they had one tee time open. I went down, starter, and I waited for the three guys who were supposed to join me. No one showed up. So I just played by myself behind some foursome. So it was a pretty kind of slow round. It's open. It's spacious. After playing Dennis Pines, and even as you look at the video here, as I'm chatting, you will kind of just get a sense of the difference between Dennis Pines and Bayberry Links and playing them back to back. I felt like I had a lot of space. However, I did not lose a golf ball at Dennis Pines. I lost two at Bayberry Links because you have fescue. You've got some spots that kind of choke in. You've got some hazards. So interesting. It feels open, but if you don't really know where you're going, or if you hit a bad shot just a little bit offline or off of your hole, you can end up in some really long stuff. And playing solo and you're looking for a ball on your own, like you're likely not going to find it. And that happened to me. But I did like to just how open it was. It does feel linksy. You're not near the water at all. You're closer to the road, and you can hear the kind of buzz of cars. And holes 2 through 8 are on one side of the road, and you walk through a tunnel to get to from 1 to 2 and from 8 to 9. I think the one thing that felt like I could feel it as I was playing the round, which I thought said something, and I kind of recorded this as I was playing. You want more views. You want like a little bit more vista interactions, or just ability to kind of like feel like you're sitting up on top of something to see the golf course. And for the first 5-6 holes, you're just in the ground. There's not dunes, but it's the land is rumpled. It's on a landfill, an old landfill. So you got your humps and your bumps, and it's been built up and built down. And there's bunkering that hides stuff, and all the bunkers look the same, which is just bananas to me. Literally, they're all the same. They look like a Nickelodeon splat, even from Google Earth, on all 27 holes at Bayberry. But you don't really get this like big view of the whole golf course. And you think you will as you walk around, because there's other points that you're looking up to, and you think like, oh, that'll be a nice vantage point. The sixth hole is probably the best vantage point on that green, really hard par four. You get up to that green and you can get a pretty good sense of the lay of the land. But I felt like I wanted just like a little bit more, or like one more of those to just feel like you're getting a little bit of a sense of where you are and getting some views, especially end of the day. The sun was low. It was kind of like hitting golden hour as I was finishing, like really nice setting out there, even with the cars going by. It does feel nice to be out there, but that was one thing that just kind of pulled at me as I was playing. Like, man, there's not a lot of spots here. So those are the 9 golf courses. Bayberry Links and Dennis Pines wrapped up my trip. I would tell, I think, anybody to go and play all of the golf courses I played on Cape Cod. Really good mix. Obviously, there's one private in there. There's one high-end public semi-private in Farm Neck, which is costs a lot of money. They do have shoulder season rates, so things get a little cheaper right now. So the weather's been awesome in October. If you want to hop on a ferry, you could go do it. But overall, those are the 9 courses that I got to play over the course of September. And I'm looking forward to getting some new ones in October, maybe dipping into November. What are some places you played in September? What are some places that you love to play in the fall? And let me know what you think about any of the courses I played, if you've been there, if you've played them, what you've thought of them over, you know, the time that you've got a chance to go and check them out, especially if you're a Cape Cod vacationer and you've got a spot that you love to go play. Let me know. Thanks for watching this week's episode of Base Take Off. Again, subscribe and like. Go check me out on my newsletter at baystategolf.beehive.com and Instagram, baystate_golf. And we will see you next week on Bay State Golf.